Okay, so welcome to today's class. This is the next webinar in the Applied Anatomy series. And the focus is on creating strength that lasts. So today's topic is the secret of back bends. And what we're looking at is muscle activation techniques for a stronger and more stable body through spinal extension. And so just because I know that some of you don't know what spinal extension is, we'll just kind of clarify that. So flexion is when we come forward flexion, okay? So right now my trunk is forward flexing. And extension, well, I'm in extension right now. I'm sitting with a really straight spine. Or when I start to go into back bend. Okay, so that's the difference, just so that we're clear about what extension and flexion is. So the goals of applied anatomy, I know that some of you watching this haven't been with any of these other sessions yet. So just to quickly kind of go over what some of the goals of applied anatomy are. One is to engender a safe space for all yoga students. And if you're not a yoga teacher yet, then this is hopefully engendering a safe space for you to begin to dive into these postures without hurting yourself in the future. And actually to do the opposite, to really create a strong body, to minimize or eliminate yoga-related injuries. There's yoga-related injuries is a lot, and what we want to do is to eliminate or minimize them. To empower each student to have long-term health as it relates to mobility, so that however, wherever you are in your life, that you have the mobility that you need or desire to go and live your best life. To have all the muscles activated and healthy while increasing their tolerance levels to withstand the stresses of life. So whatever you do in life, i.e. Start preparing to go for 30-mile runs, that you can withstand that your body is not going to shut down, that your body is not going to break down, that you're not going to have to take months and months and months to repair. So what we want to do is to increase their tolerance levels. And I've kind of brought it down to a very kind of simple idea that you go grocery shopping and you bring those groceries in from the car to the kitchen and your back goes out. So we're constantly having to deal with many stresses of life. And what I'd like to see you do is to be able to withstand all of those stresses in whatever form that they show up in. And also that you can do something great, that you have the body, that you have the physical health to do great things in your life and live your life purpose. And then of course, to further the goals of the Vinny Yoga tradition. In Vinny Yoga, one of the most important things to remember is to stay curious, to investigate and experiment. And the Vinny Yoga tradition is an evolving science as our understanding of the human body grows and evolves. So today's topic is the secret of back bends. What are we trying to do? What are we doing in back bends? And this is just a question that I'd like to ask you guys. How many back bends are needed to prepare for wheel pose? So if you want to just put some ideas in the comments or even just shout out, that's completely fine. But how many back bends do you think that you need to do in order to prepare for back bends or prepare for wheel pose? Okay, so we have a couple of people responding. Great. Somebody says, I don't know. 4. Yeah, that's actually a really good number. 4. Somebody said, I recently did my first wheel. It seemed mental as much as anything. A deep breath and intention. I will actually side with that. That wheel pose is really intense. And you know, wheel pose is one of those poses that pushes our body to go a direction that it's not normally accustomed to going. You know, we're constantly in kind of this forward flexion state that we normally don't go into extension. So there's definitely a lot of truth to that. And it's one of the reasons why we feel so freaking awesome. Well, most of us do, maybe not everybody, that when we do wheel pose, that we feel so amazing afterwards. Like, not only like do we get all of the blood circulating in the body, but we just feel like, yes, I just did something really freaking hard. So yeah, three or four, and Shalabhasana is one for sure. So absolutely, that's really great. And we're gonna talk a little bit more about that. So we need to first answer the question, what the heck is happening in a back bend? And one example is bridge pose. So what I'd like you guys to do, if you would like, is to just quickly do bridge pose. So I mentioned to you in the comments before that we would do a little bit of movement. So if you don't want to do any movement, you don't have to. But I want you just to do bridge pose really quickly. If you don't know what bridge pose is, I'll demonstrate it. So just coming on your back. You can have your hands by the side. I usually like to keep my hands here and then just lift the hips up. Okay, and you can do this a couple of times if you want to. Just come down and lift the hips up and think about what is happening in your body right now. One of the questions I'm going to ask you is, what is happening biomechanically? In applied anatomy, what I want you guys to start thinking about is what is actually happening in the body? What muscles are contracting and what muscles are lengthening because of those muscles contracting? Okay? So once you think you have an answer or you have some insight, just come back up. And again, you can just put some comments in the comment section, in the chat section. So what is biomechanically happening? And if you don't know, that's okay too. That's what we're here to do, is to learn. So glute activation and hip extension, absolutely. Glutes, 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 for sure. Anything else? Quads, okay. So quads are definitely lengthening as a result of what is contracting, what is shortening. I'm sorry? Hamstrings, absolutely, hamstrings. So the hamstrings are definitely shortening as well. And the lower back muscles are also playing a role too. Yes, so in back bends, the lower back muscles specifically, and then we're going to get into the upper back muscles, which don't really get too affected in bridge pose. But definitely the lower back muscles are also contracting. And what we're going to actually see there is that a lot of these lower back muscles actually start to integrate with the glutes, which is also interesting, something to put a pin in. So biomechanically, what was happening, so we agreed that the hamstrings were shortening, that the glutes were contracting, that the lower back was contracting. As a result of that, the thighs also started to lengthen. So we have this this kind of dual thing going on with agonistic muscles, muscles that are contracting, and antagonistic muscles, which are the opposite, which actually lengthen as a result of certain muscles shortening. Okay, so the answer was the hamstring, the glutes, and the erector muscles of the spine. The little question here is, as a result of those muscles contracting, so if you guys could just put your microphone on mute, that would be fantastic. Question, as a result of those muscles contracting, which muscles were lengthening? So we mentioned the thighs, Another muscle that, or the quads, another muscle that's lengthening is some of the hip flexors, which involves the psoas and the iliacus. And also even some of the trunk flexors, which is the abdominal muscles and the TVA, the transverse abs. So in sort of the old, and I call it the current paradigm of, I want to say yoga, but also really kind of the fitness idea, is that traditionally when we do forward bends, we're stretching the back body, i.e. we're stretching the lower back and hamstrings. So if I ask you to do forward flexion right now, and again, forward flexion is that idea that you're coming forward, what are we actually doing? We are stretching the lower back and the hamstrings, stretching the back body. And then when we do back bends, we're stretching the front body, i.e. opening the heart, stretching the thighs, and so on. What kind of poses do people use to normally prepare for back bends? So one of them is everything you can think of. They just throw like a ton of poses at you. I've been to some yoga classes where I know that the teacher is going into wheel pose, and all of a sudden we're doing, you know, some pose that has absolutely nothing to prepare for wheel pose. But some teachers, they just don't know what they're really doing. So they just like, okay, we're going to do this very dynamic pose, and I'm going to throw everything at you. I postulated this question in one of the groups, and somebody had said shoulder openers. And I want you to just kind of put a pin in that for a moment. Shoulder openers. Another one is thigh openers and chest openers. So we use this word openers quite a bit. In applied anatomy, in muscle activation, we're learning that openers is another word for stretching. And when we stretch a muscle or contract a muscle beyond its capable range of motion, it becomes stressed and shuts down. Alternatively, the muscles lose their ability to contract on demand. So if you're kind of new to the series today and just watching this for the first time, what we're trying to do is to increase a muscle's ability to contract more than we are on a muscle's ability to lengthen. We address and improve the function of the body. So forward bends is actually strengthening the front of the body, and back bends is really about strengthening the back body, okay? So it's a very different kind of idea that when we're folding forward, traditionally we're like, if someone, you know, can't go past here, what our first response is as a teacher or as maybe even a friend, it's like, oh, you've got really tight hamstrings, or you've got really tight lower back. But in this kind of thinking, what we're actually looking at is what's happening in the front body, what muscles need to contract in order for me to move forward. Because ultimately, as I'm folding forward, my abdominal muscles need to contract. And likewise, if I'm going back, it's the back muscles that need to contract correctly in order for me to go and do a back bend, okay? So the muscles for back trunk extension. So the muscles that we need to pay attention to do back bends. And these are kind of like all of them or most of them, specifically in the trunk, in the spine. The quadratus lumborum, the costal and spinal fibers, the multifidus, the longissimus, the iliocostalis, the spinalis and semispinalis, the trapezius muscles, the lower, middle, and upper, and intraversari, interspinalis lumborum. What about the shoulders? Okay, so that's a very good question. What for the conversation today, the shoulders are such a vast topic, and we really need a lot of time to address them. If neck and shoulder problems are present, the information today presented will really help you a lot. many, and if not most, shoulder problems really do originate from weak back extensor or trunk stabilizer muscles. And in the conversation that we had about twists, we really got into what some of these trunk stabilizers are. If those muscles are not strong, then you're gonna have shoulder problems, okay? Also, I would say that everything that we're gonna be doing today will ultimately help shoulder problems. But if you would like to work on strengthening weak or damaged shoulders, please contact me outside of this, and I'm happy to curate a special muscle activation program or techniques for your shoulder injuries, okay? And we'll also be covering a lot about shoulders in some of the applied anatomy training that we'll be doing coming soon. So the key muscles to activate when doing back bending. So these are the key muscles that we're gonna work on today. And I would even postulate, like, you should always bring these kind of muscles or this awareness into anything that you're doing moving forward for back bending practices specifically. But also outside of that, like just anything that you're doing, anytime I'm gonna go on like a 30 mile run or anytime I'm gonna go and do any kind of mountain climbing, you saw that picture of mountain climbing earlier. I love to climb mountains. I love going hiking. Anytime I'm gonna go to do some sort of sporting event, I always do these three postures. I always make sure that these muscles are activated. And one of the reasons for that is just because these muscles, as we're going to find, really help on stabilizing the spine. Okay. So, pop quiz. What is our goal? To stretch these muscles or to increase their ability to contract? So just quickly, just kind of answer that for yourself. What do we want to do with these muscles? The longissimus, the trapezius, and the glutes. Do we want to stretch them or do we want to activate them? Do we want to increase their ability to contract? Always our goal is to improve a muscle's ability to contract and contract on demand, okay? Very important that all of our muscles should function optimally and be able to contract on demand. So again, if you're kind of new to this kind of idea of muscle activation and applied anatomy, that one of the number one reasons why any injury happens is because when you need a muscle, that muscle is not available to you. Why is that muscle not available to you? Because it's lost its ability to contract and contract on a demand. A muscle's ability to contract on demand is usually dependent on the neuroconnection between the brain and the muscle. So our goal, especially in the Vinyasa yoga tradition, in this kind of yoga modality, is to improve that connection. So the longissimus. The longissimus is one of the longest muscles in the body. And I'm not going to read through all of the origin and insertions. We are going to look at where it is now. So you can see the longissimus here, and in the picture I really needed to make it a lot smaller, but you can see how it goes down into the sacrum here at the bottom, and it actually goes right into the neck. It is one of the longest muscles in the spine, and it plays a really important role in spinal stability. The main job of the longissimus is extension of the spine. So remember that the way that we defined extension is going backwards, is the spine's ability to go backwards, but at a very kind of applicable level, it's really your ability to sit up with a straight spine. And as I've taught meditation so many times over the years, probably one of the biggest complaints that I get constantly from students on the first couple of days is, oh, my back hurts. And what's really going on is that the muscles of the spine are really weak and they're not able to sit up for very long because those muscles are not strong or they're not activating. And the stress of those muscles, the longissimus in particular, not activating, is one of the reasons why they end up getting pain in other areas of their body. Another job of the longissimus is lateral bending of the spine. So that's when you, if you're just sitting where you are, if you kind of lean to one side and bring one shoulder to that hip bone. So if you bring your left shoulder to your left hip bone, then you are doing lateral bending. Also depression of the ribs. The longissimus is one of the longest, biggest muscles controlling spinal movement. Therefore, it is a vital muscle for spinal stability. If this muscle is not working, other muscles get recruited. And if those muscles are not functioning or are overused, there's an opportunity for injury. Okay, so this again is the longissimus. And you can see here how important this this muscle is. It's not only connecting to the spine all the way up, it's also connecting to the ribs, and it also connects down into the pelvic, the pelvis, and into the sacrum, and those fibers actually intermesh with the glutes as well. So we're also getting into the trapezius muscles, and the trapezius muscles are enormous. You can see here that the trapezius muscles go right up into the neck, and they come down into the shoulder blades, and then all the way down to the top, or sorry, to the bottom of the thoracic spine. And here's just kind of another view of the trapezius muscles. So one of the main jobs of the trapezius muscles is to reinforce spinal extension. So again, your ability to sit up straight and bend backwards in the upper back, okay? Stability of the neck. I cannot tell you how many problems of the neck actually come from the trapezius muscles. And it's really, it's not because the trapezius muscles are sore, are tight. By the way, tight muscles are a result of a muscle not functioning correctly. The trapezius muscles are not functioning correctly. They're not activated correctly. They're not doing their job. So if the trapezius muscles are activated, most problems in the neck will actually start to dissipate. The trapezius muscles attach to the shoulder blades, and if the trapezius is not activated, shoulder instability is also inevitable. So again, here you can see that the trapezius muscle attaches right into the shoulder blade, right at here, right at the spine of the scapula. If you, by the way, just want to kind of feel that, if you bring one hand over, if you can reach that far, and you bring it sort of to the shoulder here, the acromion, which is right about there, and then just kind of trace it back, and you can sort of feel a bone right here. It's really, I think it's kind of cool. It's a good landmark, and that is called the spine of the scapula. And just above that landmark is, and down a little bit, is where the trapezius muscle connects. So if you kind of, if you just want to landmark it, it's kind of interesting. I think it's interesting. But it's also interesting to note that the trapezius muscle, and we kind of saw this, it actually comes right up to here, but the fibers of the trapezius muscle actually come into the neck and even into the collarbone there. Okay, so it's a really big and important muscle, and it's a muscle that we want to get activated and make sure that it's nice and strong. The next one is the glutes. Again, the glutes are this huge muscle, and you can just see right here. Now, the glute that we're focusing on is glute max, okay? But we also have glute med and glute minor. And glute medius, glute maximus, and glute minimus, not minor, sorry. And so you can see again, the glute is attached here, where it attaches to, and it kind of goes right into the coccyx. It goes right down into the coccyx. And here's another picture of the glutes, okay? The gluteus maximus is located in the buttocks and is one of the strongest and most important muscles in the human body. It connects to the coccyx or tailbone as well as other surrounding bones. The gluteus maximus is responsible for the movement of the hips and thighs. And if you want to, take screenshots of these writings so you can refer back to them later. Please do. Lower back pain is hardly ever a result of lower back issues. The issues are coming from somewhere else. Many people mistakenly believe that lower back pain is caused by a problem with the lower back. All movements of the spine require other parts of the body to work as well. When bending backwards to pick up a weight from the ground, for example, the ankles, knees, and hips should also bend to help support the lower torso. Similarly, as the spine moves from side to side during walking, the legs and hips should also move from side to side to help provide a good base of support for the spine as it moves. And this is a really important thing to kind of highlight. The gluteal muscles play a key role in helping to take the stress off the spine during movement. So they act as a shock absorber. And if you kind of think about a car or a Jeep, and what happens when those shocks get kind of blown out, and you live in a place like Costa Rica on a dirt road and with lots of potholes, and you're going down that road and the shocks are blowing out, that the axle could actually break. And if we kind of apply that analogy to the human body, if the glutes are not activated properly, are not absorbing the shocks of life, of running, of whatever you're doing, then that's going to start to reverberate in the lower back. So for example, much of the rotational movement stress experienced by the spine during sporting activities is moderated by the gluteus maximus muscle. When the spine rotates over the legs on one side of the body, example, taking a back swing, or follow through in golf, tennis, or baseball, the hip and legs should also rotate to take the stress off the lower back. So I recently had one of my students, Cindy, who, you know, she's always talking about the pain that she has in old lefty, but she also loves to play golf. And so if she's constantly, you know, doing these swings and her glutes are not activated properly, not negating the problems that she has in her shoulder, but do you think that would probably exacerbate the issue? Absolutely. So if her glutes are not functioning correctly, then the pain is going to become even more problematic in the shoulder, and muscles that should not be absorbing the shock and should not be working in the shoulder are starting to overcompensate and therefore becoming really, really, really stressed out. So we're going to continue on. The gluteus maximus muscle attaches to the structures of the spine and pelvis into the leg. If the gluteus maximus muscle is not working properly, stress from rotational movements is instead transferred to the lumbar spine and may manifest as pain in the lower back. So the three poses that we're going to focus on, three muscles to activate and work these muscles, okay? So one of them, longissimus, we're going to do Superman pose with the legs lifted. For the trapezius muscle, we're actually going to do something very similar, but we're also going to work more on the upper body. So we're going to work with the arms raised forward and then moving in and out of cactus pose, and then we'll do bridge pose, okay? So let's get to work and activate these muscles. But first, what I want you guys to do before we do that is to do, you can do wheel pose if you want to. You can do bridge pose. But I just want you to do that one pose first just to kind of see how it feels in your body. And then we're going to repeat the experiment again afterwards and then just see if there's any difference, okay? So why don't you guys just quickly come and do bridge pose. If you want to do wheel pose, you can do wheel pose. There is actually another alternative, and you can also do bow pose. So again, this is bow pose, grabbing your ankles and just lifting up. Thank you. Alrighty. So again, just do it quickly. It doesn't, you don't need to do it many times. I just want you just to notice the difference, okay? And one of the things about muscle activation is just noticing the difference in your body and, you know, what how these postures, how these very, very, very simple activation techniques can start to create more stability, but also more movement. In yoga, and yoga teachers, I think, are very guilty of this, but also in the sports world, that there's this kind of idea that if I want to wrap my foot behind my head, or if I want to go and do more intense postures, that we need to A, warm up. Now, in the yoga world, the reason why I said they're guilty of this is because warm up with a lot of yoga teachers means sweating. It means like 30 minutes of intense sweat so that we can prepare and do wheel pose. And I would actually say that's completely false. That is not an accurate statement. That what we want to do is actually just fire up those muscles, get those muscles working, get the brain to body connection happening, get more specifically the brain to the muscle connection happening. If that is working and those muscles are contracting correctly, we should be able to do, you know, postures with a lot more ease and effortlessly, okay? So it's a going against that kind of paradigm of like, okay, we just have to do a lot of stuff. So the very first pose that we want to do is focus on the longissimus and focus on getting the longissimus activated. Those of you who have studied with me before will know this pose and know it's actually my favorite pose of all yoga practices in the yoga world. And it also is one of the poses that gets the least amount of stress, of press. Like very few teachers ever really do this pose. Okay. So it's very simple. And if you cannot come up that far, please don't worry about it. Where the longissimus is sort of right in the back here. Let me use my other hand. It's right in the back here. And if you just kind of even lift your chest off the ground and you feel those muscles there engaging, chances are that is the longissimus. Now, you also have the longissimus muscle. We saw this in the diagram. The longissimus actually goes up into the thoracic spine. Even though we're going to focus on the trapezius muscle in the next thing that we're going to do, we're also going to be hitting the longissimus in there as well, which obviously creates more stability in the neck. So bring the arms down, and all you're going to do is lift the legs up and lift the chest up as high as you can. And we're going to hold for 6 seconds. So that was 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then come on down and just relax for a moment. And then lift up, lift the legs up, and lift the chest up. And you should feel that muscle right there starting to activate. And sometimes it's nice just to bring your hand there and come on down and just feel that muscle starting to work. Again, if you can only lift up just a little bit, don't worry about it. If that's all you can do right now, you'll get better at it the more you practice this, okay? So let's do it 4 more times. So lift up the chest, lift up the legs, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And come on up and hold for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And come on up and hold for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and come on down. We'll do it one more time. Go up as high as you can. Lift the legs up. Lift the femur bones off the ground as high as you can, okay?
So lift up high, 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 higher, four, five, and six, and come on down. Wasn't that lovely?
Do you guys like that? Already, actually, you can feel like something is starting to shift in your body. Before, when I was talking to you like this, I was just noticing like, oh, I can't really, you know, go back so easily. Now it's no problem, okay? So doing these kind of exercises increases the ability of the back muscles to contract correctly, okay? Now the next one, I'm gonna back up just a little bit here. This is working the trapezius muscles. Now, before I do that, just some, most of you practice yoga that are watching this, and you think about like when you come into cobra pose and you're really lifting the heart, you're arching the upper back. That kind of intention is what is needed here. So let me show you what we're gonna do. You're going to lift everything up, lift your arms and your chest, and then bring the elbows back and squeeze and lift up the hands, okay? So don't do this, lift up the hands, and you wanna focus on getting an external rotation in the biceps here. That's why you wanna lift the hands so that the humerus is doing this external rotation, okay? So you're gonna lift up, externally rotate the humerus by lifting the hands and really arching the upper back as much as you can. The other thing to pay attention to is the legs here. You do not want the legs to come up here. I want the legs on the ground. So sometimes some people have to lift the legs to feel like they're lifting in the chest. For this particular posture, I want you to keep the legs down. If your legs come up, then that means you're going up too high or pushing it. The legs come up, you're probably starting to compensate. And the idea here is to come out of compensation. Okay? So let's do it together, 6 times, 6 seconds. So lift everything, lift the chest and lift the arms up as high as you can, and then squeeze the elbows back. Lift up the chest, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, come on down and relax. And again, lift up and squeeze back and hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And lift up and hold 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and come on down. 3 more times, and lift up, and hold for 1. Now really arch the upper back as much as you can. Lift it up, lift it up, lift it up, and come on down. And again, lift it up. Again, doing that external rotation in the arms, holding 3, 4, 5, 6, and come on down. And lift up 1 more time. Everything up. And hold for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. All righty. So come and sit up just for a second. Anyway, you want. Do you guys feel different in the way that you're sitting? Probably when we started this session, some of you were noticing like that your back was either getting tired or you were starting to slouch a lot more, but now there's this feeling of support and activation in your spine, okay? So the last one we're gonna do is bridge. And bridge is, I think, is one of really the only postures that really kind of gets into engagement of the glutes. There's very few other postures that do that. Please don't think that doing squats, and in the yoga world, we have a couple of postures that emulate squats. One of them is Utkatasana, chair pose. That posture does not engage the glutes, does not really work the glutes. So the only posture that really shortens the fibers of the glutes really well is bridge pose. It's one of the best postures we have in our arsenal to really kind of get people to work the glutes correctly. So what you're gonna do is come onto your back. And for this particular method, we wanna leave the hands sort of behind the head, because I don't want you to use your arms to lift up. I want you to use the strength of your hamstrings and your glutes and your lower back to lift up. So bring the hands here. Now, you're gonna lift up as high as you can. Again, we're gonna hold for 6 seconds, but I also, in addition to lifting up, I want you to squeeze the glutes. So kind of like, you know, you can tap your glutes or just check them. Make sure they're engaged. And really squeeze them. Squeeze the two glute muscles, the cheeks, towards each other as best as you can, and then come on down and relax. And then come on back up. We'll do it 5 more times. And hold for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And then lift up and hold for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And lift up and hold for 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and come on down. And come on up. Again, just kind of check with your hand if you want. Really squeeze those glutes. So it's not just about lifting up, you guys. It's also about squeezing, like intentionally squeeze the glutes together and come on down. And come on back up. And again, squeeze the glutes. And see if you can actually lift the hips up a little bit higher. Lift them up a little bit higher, squeeze a little bit more. This is the last time. Squeeze them, lift up, and come on down. I want you, before we do anything else, to stand up and just kind of feel your body and how it is, how you feel supported, and if there's any differences. Does it feel good? Awesome. So now the invitation is to do wheel pose or bow pose or bridge pose one more time. But just to do it like as a backbend practice, or even cobra pose. You could do cobra pose. Do any backbend that you wish.
Ah, yes. I love that.
Meredith, was that good? Kathy, was that good? Awesome. Nice, yeah. So there's a sense of feeling more strong, more stable in the body, and that's what we're going for all the time, is a feeling of strength. And remembering that the more a muscle contracts, so again, thinking about the biceps, if my biceps are contracting, are shortening, then the antagonistic muscles, in this case the triceps, are starting to lengthen. So these are three easy postures to make part of your daily routine. Just talking about all about the different like benefits of these postures and how these muscles, these postures strengthen the muscles and how these muscles play a part of your daily routine in your life. And if they're not working correctly, your body is going to have problems, even from just, you know, taking the groceries in from the car to the kitchen. So remember the golden rule when you're practicing these postures. So as you're doing any of these postures, remember to engage for 6 seconds and repeat a total of 6 times, okay? So it's not just about coming up into the posture and seeing how long you can hold it. It's really about creating that repetition. And this has come out of a lot of research, the 6 seconds, 6 times. But what it starts to do is reestablish that connection between the brain and the body. Okay, so we already did wheel pose and or bow pose. And the final tip. So this is really a final tip to you as a person who, you know, is doing some sort of kind of self-care fitness regime or yoga. And it's really not about what you can do that we care about. What we really care about is what you can't do. And as of course, as a yoga teacher, when you're kind of assessing people, what a person can't do tells us more about their body. And once we identify weaknesses, we have a place to start. And specifically in the yoga world, that we have, you know, a lot of people with tight muscles. Tight muscles or muscle tightness is a reflection of a muscle not functioning correctly. And it's also representative of a weak muscle, which is kind of the antithesis of what we actually think about. We think, oh, somebody has tight muscles, you know, they're too overbulked or something like that. But it's really more about those muscles not working correctly. So that's pretty much it for today. Stay tuned for upcoming trainings. I know that some people were not aware of these emails, and a lot of these emails seem to be going to people's promotion folders or junk folders. So please keep an eye out for the emails for upcoming trainings. And if any of you want to work on some customized, curated muscle activation therapy or have injuries in your body you want to address, I'm available for private training. And I have the Back Health course online, which is a fantastic course to start teaching you about the anatomy of the spine and where a lot of these muscles are and giving you a different exercises to help them really become stronger. It also gives you a really beautiful routine. There's about a 20-minute routine at the end to really go through all of the different muscles. And as always, please send me your emails or questions to see if I can address them in upcoming online trainings. And as I mentioned before, we will be launching the whole complete anatomy training, applied anatomy yoga training soon.